Good morning again. Today we're going to finish up this series that we've been in for the last few weeks, A Day in the Life. And today we're picking up someone from the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at the book of Esther. So I encourage you, if you have Bibles, to follow along with me. And as always, we have the text up on the screens here beside me. So we're going to be in the fourth chapter. And we're going to pick up the story with verse 10 and read through the end of the chapter, verse 17. So let's enter into the story of Queen Esther. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law: to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come to the king in 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days or nights. And I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, then I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. So this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. All right, so I need to fill in the blanks here for us a little bit, because we picked up this story right in the middle of it. So I want to recap the storyline to begin with, kind of in a very quick fashion, to take us inside what is happening here with Esther. So in the first four chapters of Esther, we are taken into the powerful Persian Empire. It begins during the exile period where the Jews have been moved out, taken as the spoils of war into the Persian Empire. And we have this king that is ruling at this time, known as Xerxes, King Xerxes. And he was the epitome of pride and extravagance. Picture the opening of Esther as like the grandest story that you could ever imagine. King Xerxes, he throws this 6-month-long showcase of demonstrating to all of his folks from the kingdom how powerful he is, how rich he is. And so there's a 6-month-long showcase. Well, at the end of that 6 months, he throws a week-long feast and invites all the rich and famous from around the kingdom to come and join him in the capital city. The palace is decorated with the finest of its day. There's linens and silver rods, and there's couches that are made out of gold and silver. There's marble floors that would rival anything you would see in the finest hotels in the world. And on top of all of that, as the guests arrive, they're given their own gold goblet that's uniquely designed for them, and there's endless wine, and the best of the best are rolled out for all these guests over over this week. It is the epitome of self-indulgence, and the pride of this king is on full display. And so it sets the tension for the drama that is about to unfold here. Okay? So the queen of Xerxes is Vashti. And We are told in the story that she is summoned to make a grand appearance to the party. And there's been a lot of speculation about what this grand appearance was supposed to be like, but she refuses to come. She's like, I'm not having any part of that. I'm not going to be paraded around like a spectacle for these men that have gathered for this party. And so she refuses, and the king gets very upset, to the point to where he has her dismissed. I mean, she just disappears and is banished from the kingdom. And so the king then, he puts on this kingdom-wide beauty pageant to try to find a new queen. And so this takes place, and there's all these beautiful young women that are chosen between like the ages of 12 and 15. And one of them is named Esther. She's a Jewish woman, or young woman. And she ends up getting chosen to be one of Xerxes' queens. And she was raised by her cousin named Mordecai. Now again, these are Jews who grew up generations before in like Palestine and Jerusalem and all of that area. But now they've been taken and they're growing up in the Persian culture. But she's Jewish. But nobody knows that she's Jewish. And so while Esther lives in the palace, Mordecai discovers a threat, a plot to assassinate Xerxes. And so he reveals the plot and saves the king's life. But soon after, there's another threat that arises. The second in command of the kingdom, a man named Haman, he was a proud official, and he was so prideful that he wanted people, when they were in his presence, to bow down to him. I mean, can you imagine? Well, obviously, Mordecai was never going to do that. I mean, he is a God-fearing man. He's religious. He believes in that you should only worship one God. One person is worthy of bowing down in reverence to, and that is God Almighty. That is the Lord. And so he refuses. And because he refuses, Haman grows dark and sinister and evil, and he plots to have Mordecai killed. But not only that, he also has the king pass a decree that on a certain date, the day right before the beginning of the Passover, you know, the Jewish, it's like their Christmas, right? It's the big holiday. And the decree stated that there would be a genocide where all the Jewish people would be put to death. And he gets the king to sign off on that. And so you can see this plot is just so thick. I mean, it's hanging over the Jews, this death sentence that's coming months out. And by the time we reach the fourth chapter, God's people are facing a terrifying danger that is looming over them. And so Mordecai goes to his niece Esther, who is one of the king's queens and has influence with the king. He convinces her that perhaps God has placed her in her position for such a time as this. And so this moment sets up a choice for Esther. Will she go to the king out of faith, or will she remain silent out of fear? So all of this is kind of hanging in the balance when we picked up the scripture reading. So Esther indeed does step forward, though she initially resists Mordecai's request. She knows that going before the king, she risks her own life if she approaches the king on her own initiative. So what she does is she calls her community, the religious community, to fast and pray for her while she discerns the choice that she will make. She asks for their prayers and their support as she determines whether or not she's willing to take this courageous step of faith. Now, she eventually does. She agrees to go to the king. She takes the risk of speaking up for her people, of not being silent, even though her life would be in danger in doing it. And so when she goes into the inner chamber of the king, even though she had not been called by the king, he shows her favor, holds out the gold scepter, invites her in to have conversation with him. And ultimately, the Jewish people are spared this horrible genocide. Esther's bravery shows leadership, and her story is enshrined in Jewish history. In Judaism, there is a festival they celebrate every year, Purim, that remembers Esther's story and her courageous faith and how God saved his people through this act. So as we think about this story, okay, man, there's some stuff in the book of Esther that's hard to stomach. Some of this story is very difficult. And God is never even mentioned in this story. But yet we see God at work, kind of working his plan behind the scenes. So there's a lot that could be said about this story, but here's where I want us to focus today. Something the story teaches me, and it's this: courage is not the absence of fear. That's not really what courage is. It doesn't mean that there is no fear, that it's completely absent, but rather it's the presence of something greater than that. And that's faith. And that's what is all over the story with Esther. Esther was afraid initially to go in, and rightfully so. Approaching the king without that invitation could have cost her her life. But real courage is stepping out in faith even when you don't know what the outcomes are going to be. That's what real courage is all about. Now, what might that look like for us here now? To step in obedience to God, what might that demand of us? Courage, right? Yeah. Just like Esther, when we take steps of obedience, when we step out of the boat, like Peter, so to speak, into the unknown, it takes courage, but it also takes courageous faith. Now, we may never be called before a king like Xerxes, so powerful and so risky to do such a thing. But we do face situations where stepping out in faith is a risk that we take. You know, when you choose to share your faith with somebody, whether it's a coworker or a friend or whoever, when you choose to speak words about your faith in some environments and circumstances, that's risky. We wonder, you know, how is that going to be received? You know, will I be rejected? It does take faith to do something like that. What about inviting somebody to church with you? You know, a neighbor. Knocking on a door, inviting someone to do something like that, especially if they haven't done so in a very long time, that's a risky proposition. What if they slam the door on our face? What if it changes their opinion of us? What if they don't want to be, you know, that friendly neighbor to us anymore? You know, speaking a hard truth to somebody that we love is a risky thing. It takes faith. We talked a little bit about that last week. There are so many things that are scary for us that call us to really draw from that deep well of our faith and trust in God. You know, a scary illness that has an unknown journey ahead is tough. It's a tough journey to take. But courage today means acting in faith despite uncertainty. It's saying, I will choose to trust God and trust that He will give me strength and confidence and courage to face things that I may not even know are coming yet. Let me tell you about a way that our church is stepping out in a big way this week. So we're launching the Kids Beach Club on Tuesday. We're going to be at Eastside Elementary School sharing the love and message of Jesus with 4th and 5th graders. And it's going to be an amazing opportunity that we have to do this, to share the message of Jesus with kids right here in our community that our church would not normally have the opportunity to reach. But here's the beautiful part. We have about a dozen or so volunteers from our church that are part of this mission, that they're stepping out to serve. There's teenagers, there's parents, grandparents, there's young adults, old adults, and just all this beautiful expression of our faith community, all different ages, are coming together to go out to the school. But if we're honest, there's a little bit of fear in doing something like this. Fear starts to creep in. I mean, some think, well, what if I'm too old to really relate to kids anymore? What if I don't have the strength to be able to match theirs? And what if I don't have the skills or the abilities to really hold their attention? Or, you know, we wonder, what if I don't know what to say to them? What if we fail? There's all these what ifs. Y'all, that's fear. That's fear trying to creep in. But courage, you know, courage doesn't mean we take a magic eraser to those fears, that they just go away. You know, courage doesn't mean that we automatically feel young again and we'll be able to have all the right answers to every question that gets asked of us. Courage is faith. It's saying yes when God nudges us to do big, scary things. That's what courageous faith is. It's trusting that God has a purpose for us in this moment. And just like Esther, we believe that God has placed us at Eastside Elementary School for such a time as this. This is our moment to share the message of Christ. Y'all, courage is not fearlessness, it's faithfulness. Even when we don't know all the outcomes. This is what we're doing this week. And I want to just call the volunteers up here for a moment. Janice, John Robert, come on up here. John Allen, I'm sorry. Just merge the whole family together in one name. But this is a sampling, y'all, of the team that God has put together to go to Eastside. Tom's back there. Come on down. You're the next contestant. But this is going to be a great week. John Allen and I are going to be leading a small group of a surf team, they call it. And Lauren's our chief here. She's orchestrating everything for us, and we've got. It's just going to be a great time. I'm excited about it, but I'm also a little bit uncertain about it too, if I'm honest, right? But we just want to take a moment and pray over this team and all who are going out. We're going to commission them to go out to Eastside this week. So would you pray with me? God, thank you for the nudge that you gave our staff a long time ago to be open to the possibility of this ministry. God, we thank you for the resources of Kids Beach Club and how they've equipped and trained us and prepared us to go in and give Bibles away and share the message of Jesus with these students. God, we're uncertain about all the future holds for us with this, but we pray that you would strengthen us in this hour to do this ministry, to represent you well, Lord. Thank you for the favor that you have given and opening a door of opportunity for us to go into the school to do this after-school Bible club. So God, I pray that you would anoint and equip each of these that are up here with me today. Empower us, God. Give us courageous faith to do what you've called and equipped us to do. And Lord, I just thank you for this church family that is surrounding us with their prayers and support and all the resources that we need to go in and do this ministry. God, we all have a part to play in this. And thank you for the part that each one of us plays. And we pray your blessings upon us. Prepare the hearts of these students, Lord. Make their hearts fertile ground for your message and your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Well, we thank you so much for joining us in worship today. If you want to continue the fellowship, I think a lot of us are going to the MC cafeteria after church this morning. So feel free to come along and eat lunch with us over there. It's one of the best lunches in town, and it's the cheapest one in town. So, What am I treating? I'll treat my daughter. How about that? Who's with me? But no, come join us. If you want to get the easiest parking, park in the lot down by the wellness center. That's the easiest place to park. And then walk up the hill to the cafeteria. It's like $10, all you can eat, all the foods you can think of are there, including the fried chicken. It's really good. So come join us. Also, be in prayer for us on Tuesday. About 2:15 is when we arrive at Eastside Elementary School. Y'all, we are so grateful for Mandy Taylor, the principal there, who's invited us in. We're thankful to our superintendent, Dr. Andy Scoggins, who's also given his support, who's a member of our church, in allowing us to be able to do this ministry. So pray for us. Give thanks to God for them. And if you want to join us, see Lauren. She'd love to sign you up. So God bless you, and I leave you with this benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.